This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Might Saudi Arabia and other members of OPEC help out in this energy pinch? Seems not. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Oil traded in New York is down from its spike yesterday. It's below $117 a barrel now, a drop of more than 5.5% today, and down 10% from a peak earlier this week. Now, that is allowing stock market players to take on a bit more risk, with the Dow at the moment up 576 points, 1.8%, the S&P up 1.8%, the NASDAQ composite up 2.2%. While Russian oil accounts for only about 3% of U.S. oil imports, this new U.S. ban on Russian oil will contribute to higher wholesale prices for crude, with retail prices to follow, as we've been reporting. Where is the oil producers' cartel OPEC in all of this? I spoke to the senior energy analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence this morning, Fernando Valle.
They're caught between a very nice place of having super high oil prices and also being partially aligned with Russia, and they don't want to destabilize either. So for them, $130 Brent oil really pads their country revenues and improves the quality of life for their own citizens and for their own regimes. But at the same time, they don't want to risk alienating Russia by coming in and taking their market share. It's a very delicate equilibrium in the oil world.
Yeah, or prompting a recession in places like the United States, in which case energy demand would go down.
Well, I mean, the high oil price could actually do that over time. We certainly are aware of demand destruction at these levels. Emerging markets probably suffer first. They did have a bit of a pullback with the dollar weakening, but in the U.S. And in Europe, it's going to start weighing on consumers' ability to spend. We did have a lot of increase in income and savings during the pandemic, thanks a lot due to government transfers. So we can absorb a little bit more now, but still at some point you will start to hurt on consumers' pockets.
Fernando Valle is senior energy analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
U.S. officials are still looking for new supplies of oil to try to keep the edge off prices. The news agency Reuters today is reporting the U.S. is working with Venezuela to ease sanctions in exchange for more direct oil imports from that South American country. After a period of nasty U.S.-Venezuelan relations, Venezuela just released two jailed U.S. citizens yesterday in a move seen as a goodwill gesture. The BBC's Leonardo Rocha has more.
Earlier on Tuesday, the head of Venezuela's oil industry association, Reinaldo Quintero, told the BBC that Venezuela could boost production and help the U.S. replace Russian crude exports.
I think we can reach 1.2 million barrels per day with the infrastructure we have.
This weekend, U.S. officials made a surprise visit to Caracas to discuss ways of bypassing the Venezuelan oil sanctions.
Venezuela's economy is a mess, and its oil infrastructure needs an overhaul. Russia and Ukraine account for 30% of the world's supply of wheat. Ukraine's exports of sunflower oil had been enormous until now, but now Russia's war. Here's Tamison Ford from our newsroom partner at the BBC.
Russia and Ukraine produce almost a third of the world's wheat and barley, both staple crops for people across the planet. Ukraine is also the globe's leading producer of sunflower oil and a major supplier of corn. But since the Russian invasion, little is coming in or out of ports on the Black Sea.
Every night we hear sirens. This is not going to end anytime soon, and we are to feel the effect of this for many, many more years to come.
Ivana Dorochenko is on the outskirts of Kyiv, Ukraine's capital. She's a lawyer and an expert on the international grains and oilseeds market.
At the moment, our fields are being damaged by Russian tanks. It's already clear that every day of this war brings prices up. Everything which is happening right now is going to affect our crops in 2022-2023. We simply don't know.
What they do know, though, is that the war has brought the Black Sea ports to a virtual standstill. Farming has too.
My name is Andrei Sizov. I'm head of Sovicon. We're focused on Black Sea agricultural markets. Ukraine mainly grows wheat in southern regions, which are heavily affected by war. So in many cases, I think farmers won't be able to apply fertilizer, which is likely to have a negative impact on future yields.
And this is all having an effect on food prices. Wheat traded in Chicago, the international benchmark, has jumped more than 50% since Russia invaded Ukraine. The biggest impact will be felt on the food security of poorer grain-importing countries. Wandile Silobo is the chief economist of the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa in Pretoria.
Some of us in Africa, for example, we rely by also physical supplies that are coming from these countries. So the first point of entry is going to be through the prices. But over time, depending on the length and the severity of this war, then you could begin to see that there will be some shortages of shipments that will come to the African continent.
With half of the world food programme's grains coming from Ukraine, it says this war will also have a significant impact on global humanitarian food distribution. So ripples from Russia's invasion of the country are likely to be felt far and wide. I'm the BBC's Tamsin Ford for Marketplace.
And the power remains out at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Ukraine, now controlled by Russian forces. Ukrainian officials say a power line has been cut. The International Atomic Energy Agency says spent fuel can stay stable for a good while, but the agency has lost communications with that plant. I'm David Brancaccio in New York with the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.